test here. So Job, come on up and help us with this. All right. So I don't have a blindfold, but Job's a honest VOH full-time employee, so he's gonna. So okay, so close your eyes. All right. So I'll just mix these around a little bit. All right. So and we'll give you this is this will be sample number one. You didn't see, right?
I can't see.
All right. Taste test number one. It's ice cold, by the way. Got it? This is sample number one, okay? Sample number two.
You're not, like, tricking me.
No. This is, I'm an honest full-time VOH employee, too. This is test number two. Sample number two. All right, so give us your honest assessment. Number one or number two? No, yeah, the real deal. Number one or number two?
Oh, no. One?
One? Correct. You got it right. Here's your prize. So the point is, right, we want to be the real deal. We don't want to be the 99-cent store version, right? When it comes to being a Christian, when it comes to being a church, when it comes to kingdom living, having kingdom impact in our community, we want to be the real deal about it. Now that, when Jesus taught us about being the real deal Christians, when he's speaking in the Bible and he's teaching his disciples, obviously it means a lot of different things, right? It means worshiping, it means prayer, it means evangelism, it means studying scripture, all these various different things. But let me show you two statistics, because there is something that Jesus highlights when he's calling his disciples to be the real deal. Two statistics. First one, there are 500 verses in the Bible on prayer. There's actually 2,000 verses in the Bible on money and possessions. Second statistic, Jesus talked about money in 16 of his 38 parables. His parables was how he taught his disciples, right? And 16 of 38, almost 50% of his parables, he was teaching them about money, about how they handled money as being their kingdom life. I believe that Jesus wants to speak to us this morning about being the real deal. And I felt led this morning to talk about one of Jesus' favorite topics, to talk about kingdom life and as it pertains to how we handle money as a church, being the real deal church, but also us individually and being the real deal Christians. We're going to look at a really short teaching of Jesus. It's only four verses long. It's in Luke chapter 21, 1 through 4. You could begin to turn there. And Jesus is calling his disciples here to be the real deal. And in four short verses, in a really short teaching, he called them to be the real deal about how they handled money and when it came to giving to the kingdom. Luke chapter 21, 1 through 4. This is Jesus speaking. This is his teaching to his disciples. Let's read this out loud together. It's up on the screen in the NIV version. So let's read this out loud together. This is Jesus' teaching. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Let's start out in verse 1. So the temple treasury was fully funded. It says that the rich were coming and putting their gifts into the temple treasury. Mark chapter 12 is the parallel account of this same story. And it actually says, many rich people threw in large amounts. So it specifically said that. Many rich people came and threw in large amounts. The temple treasury was overflowing. It's actually really interesting that this morning I felt led to preach on this topic when it came to our vision, impact, living the kingdom life. And it's interesting, I think intriguing, that actually our bank account in our church is in excess this morning. It wasn't always like that. There's points along the way, and I'll share a little bit about that in this sermon. But this morning, it's in excess. So you might wonder, well, why did Jesus, if the temple treasury is overflowing, many rich people threw in their large amounts, the temple treasury is fully funded, why would Jesus stop and pause and want to teach his disciples about giving? Or why this morning did God lead us to talk about this topic when there's excess in the church bank account All the ministries are fully funded. All the bills are paid in our church. Why would we pause to talk about this topic? Well, let's keep reading to find out why Jesus felt it was important to talk about this to his disciples. Can we read again out loud? Verse 2. It says, he also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. So you have to picture this. Many rich people were throwing in large amounts. The rich people came, threw in their $100 bills. They were throwing in their $1,000 checks. They were even throwing in their $1 million checks. And then it was a sight to behold, because it said Jesus was witnessing this whole thing, and he saw a poor widow, and all she had was her two small copper coins, or if I can put it this way, her two pennies, walking in amidst everybody else, and everyone took notice of this, and she threw in her two small copper coins. Many of us, if we observed this, this is an intense moment, we would be moved to tears with this situation, that's all that she had left. And it's intriguing that Jesus, who was a guy who modeled for everyone along the way of caring for especially the poor and the widow, this lady was poor and widow. He cared about her. He cared about people like her. He modeled it along the way. He taught vehemently about caring specifically for this group of people, and it's intriguing that Jesus didn't turn her away. Some of us, for our natural instinct, would be, please, take these two pennies back. In fact, actually, there's excess in this temple treasury. Please take some of the temple treasury. Take some of the church funds, actually, for yourself, instead of putting it in here. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus watched her give, and then watch what he does next. Verses 3 through 4. Let's read this out loud together. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Instead of turning her away, instead of actually digging into the temple treasury and the church fund to give her some, he actually said, this woman is the example. This woman is the example for every generation to come, every generation of Christ followers. This woman is the example. Listen, Jesus didn't care so much about the bottom line of how much was in the temple treasury, or even the bottom line of what was in her account. Not that he didn't care, because listen, Jesus in a split second could have put money into the temple treasury, could have put money in her account. And you know that he did that on certain occasions, right? There's one really famous teaching where Jesus even helped Peter pull out a coin out of a fish's mouth, right, to pay some bills. Jesus was capable of taking care of all that. But what Jesus cared more about was he cared about this woman's heart, and he cared about his disciples' heart when it came to this really important topic that was really important to Jesus about how they handled money in terms of kingdom life. Jesus, if I could put it this way, Jesus cared about the health of her heart, the health of his disciples' hearts. He cared more about health than he did about the bottom line of the amount that was in the temple treasury. Can I share a little bit more about our Just Church story in the last couple of months? I mentioned this morning the church account fully funded in excess. I really praise God for it. I really praise God for it because it wasn't that way in the first quarter of 2018. Actually, along the way in 2018, it was a real struggle leading up to this point. But I felt led to speak about it this morning, but this morning it's in excess. Because there was a few giving units that really stepped up to the plate. If I could put it like this story here, some rich people came and threw in large amounts. But would you agree that that's not exactly healthy? You know, I'm thankful in our church, especially in our finance department, they run a really tight ship. So the information about the financial giving is not accessible to anybody, except for the limited few in the finance department, not even to the lead pastoral team. But they did share with me one piece of information that they felt that it was important for me to know, and I feel important for you to know this morning. In this congregation, there are 31 healthy giving units, meaning that healthily give on a regular basis to help fund the ministries of this church that we feel called to. And I as the pastor, want to just lovingly bring this up this morning, because there's way more than 31 people here, or even 31 couples that are here, 31 families that are here. And we want to be a healthy church. Right? We want to be the real deal church. That what Jesus talked about giving, that we don't just receive it as just some nice idea, but we say we want to live that out. That we don't want to just talk about kingdom impact and have it as a hashtag on our Twitter accounts or Facebook, but that we want to be serious about living out the kingdom life. And I want to just lovingly bring that to the church to say, hey, let's be the real deal. Let's not be the imitation. Let's not be the 99 cent store version of Christianity or the 99 cent store version of church. But let's be the real deal church. That whatever is on Jesus' heart, 16 or 38 of his parables that he was teaching his disciples, it was on his heart about how to handle finances, about funding the kingdom of God. Let that be on our hearts as a church to be the real deal. Can I give another little illustration? One of my sons, he's 5 years old. He's Silas. Imagine if Silas came home one day and he told me, hey, Dad, I'm kind of tired of using my muscles. I just need an extra boost. I'm going to just start using this. It's just so helpful. There's a lot of fathers in this room. We would all say the same thing to our son if they came and they talked to us about that. I would lovingly sit him down and I would say, Silas, are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? There is no way. Silas, you are completely healthy. And for the dramatic moment, I would just toss this aside. And I would say, Silas, start walking right now. You can walk fine. Can I bring this up as the pastor? Because I want to lovingly be a father to our church too. We can't be walking on a crutch and saying, okay, we can get by. We'll rely on the rich people. The rich people will help us to get by. Instead of walking, we'll rely on the rich people to throw in their large amounts. Listen, I just want to point out in this scripture, that's not what it was about for Jesus. The rich people already threw in their large amounts. And he was waiting on the 2 small copper coins from the women to drop it into the treasury because he cared about her heart. And he cared about the hearts of every generation to come. That's why this was included into scripture. And you might say, oh my goodness, I mean, Jesus, please, like, you're squeezing this poor old woman for every cent that she has. You know, she only has 2 pennies and you're going to squeeze her for that and then what, to leave her to die? Or what's going to happen to her? And I just want to say, you know, about Jesus, is that wasn't what was on his heart. It's very interesting. That's the way the story closes. It just closes with that, right? That's what happened. We don't know what happened to her. But listen, all of us who know about the character of God, we know exactly what happened to her. We know exactly what happened to this woman after she gave all that she had for the kingdom of God. We know exactly what happened to her. Can you turn to your Bible, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8? This is just a glimpse into the character of God and his heart when it comes to giving. Listen, God's the greatest giver of all. You're not going to outgive God, right? And here is his heart. Here is clearly his heart and how he is when it comes to giving. Can we read this out loud together? Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Here's the character of God. Here's who he is. And he says, God is able to bless you abundantly. He'll bless you abundantly to the point that you'll have all that you need. Not only will you have all that you need, it says that you will be able to abound in every good work. And Paul's saying here, ultimately God is saying to us, one real key principle. And so Paul says, God says, remember this piece. Remember this piece when it comes to giving. Remember who God is, and then remember this piece, this little piece of advice. He says, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's who God is. We know what happened to this woman.
Can I share a little bit of just my own journey in the last 18 years? Many of you know that I came on staff at this church 18 years ago, right out of college when I was 22 years old. And when I came at that time, this group was just a youth group. And so there wasn't funding to help fund me and for my ministry or me coming over from New Jersey. And so in the beginning stages, I was raising support from people that would just give to me, and they were sowing into my life, but they were also sowing into this church. And I was 22 years old at the time. And so there were some people that were real gracious and generous, people that were, if you can say, rich, that were giving towards it. But also, because I was 22 years old, I just graduated from college, a lot of my friends were college students. And they supported me in relatively smaller ways. Some of them would send me $10 a month here and there. And I had the opportunity to observe their life through the years. And I want to tell you, God's word would never lie. It would never return void. And I observed some of these relatively poor people, college students, or people didn't have much. There was also other people that supported me that weren't of extravagant means. And I just want to give you some empirical evidence that I just observed. This is my own personal story. I saw some of these people today that were just donating their relatively small amounts. They're multimillionaires today. They are literally multimillionaires today. They started out, they were sowing in the amount, just like this story that we heard in Jesus' teaching, just what they had. And they're saying, you know, Dennis, I don't have a lot, but I believe that God's called you to minister to the next generation. I'm with you. I'm with the kingdom of God. And listen, we need some men and women to rise up with that same heart that Jesus is calling us to in this passage. And it's not about the amount, but it's about my heart being healthy. It's about the church being healthy and really, truly living the kingdom life and really, truly being the real deal church, real deal Christians. Not just the hashtag, but being the real deal. You know, the story of our church, I think, is this principle. You know, our church is really blessed. I mean, we are financially really blessed. Two buildings paid off in Los Angeles. Man, that's amazing. That's God's provision. But listen, 27 years ago, you need to know that this church was set up that 10% of whatever comes in, whatever is dropped into the offering baskets, instantaneously and automatically goes out. And that's why on our wall out there in the lobby, there's 8 missions organizations or missionaries that we support. For a church our size to be supporting on a monthly basis financially 8 missionaries, actually a lot. But as we begin to sow into God's kingdom, and we're serious about that, of being the real deal, we just see God's just abundant provisions into our lives and into our church. Listen, we don't do it because of that. Right, because there's other places in Scripture that talk about having pure motives before as we do it. And so it's not about, I'm going to drop $5 into the basket today because later on this week I'll get $10. It's not about having that kind of motive in our heart. But listen, the principle is still true. It's still true. And that as we make decisions today and this week to sow into God's kingdom, there is no way that you're going to outgive God. God is going to give to you. He is the greatest giver of all. As I pray of how to close this time, I just really ask the Lord, how did he want to close this time? You know, did he want us to pass the baskets around again? And we're not going to do that. I didn't feel like that's what the Lord wanted to do, because I felt like this is what the Lord said. I felt like the Lord said, let me set the example. Let me give to my people today. I love to give. I want to give gifts to my kids today. Let them be given to, that out of that and out of the abundance and out of me blessing them abundantly, that they would have all that they need, then they would go forth and do the good works. So I asked our prayer team to pray the last couple of days just to see what kind of gifts God wanted to give today. And I'm going to ask Kendra to come up, and she's going to share with us some gifts that we were just going to, I feel like the Lord wants to give today to us. So I'm going to turn the time over to Kendra just for a moment, and she can just share with us what kind of gifts the Lord wants to give today.
So I'm just the mouthpiece. I didn't receive any of these words, just saying. By God's grace, some of you know we have the prayer meeting at 9:45 every Sunday morning, and there's also a 7 a.m. prayer meeting that happens every Sunday, and anyone is always welcome to come. But this morning, we just got a lot of confirmation between the two prayer meetings, and I'm like frantically texting Dennis everything that people are saying. So I'm just going to read the text that I was writing to Pastor Dennis this morning. Job got a picture of hands opening and closing, and he felt like it was representing a lack of security in God, but that God wants to give people security to be able to release their burdens to him, and he wants to break off chains that we've been holding onto for ourselves, and also burdens like pain from the past or bondage from the past that we want to let it go, but we don't know how, or sometimes we get comfortable with our pain. And then Ron also got a word about how God wants to restore our goals that we've given away or set down, just like James Chong's sermon last Sunday, and also a picture of shackles and chains melting, the undermining and usurping of a poverty mentality being melted away. So this mentality that, like, I don't have enough of fill in the blank, but that God wants to show us that he always has enough, like enough time, enough resources, enough relationships, enough energy to do what he's asking us to do. And this is this was the coolest part. It was actually a confirmation of what some of us were praying upstairs this morning. And though none of those people were the same in the two prayer meetings. So I just wanted to point that out, that God is confirming his word and that this is something that he wants to do. And the other amazing thing is that as we're walking out, or as we're closing the prayer meeting, Catherine said she got a picture of people raising their hands and shouting hallelujah, and that this was to show that God also wants to break generational bondage of a spirit of poverty. So that could be maybe your family's been struggling with financial things for a long time, as long as you can remember, and even into before you were born, but that God wants to break that today. And we're walking out, and Daniel smiles at me and says, you know that a lot of our songs are about, like, breaking chains today. And also, I think almost all the songs had the word hallelujah in it. I remember saying that word a lot. So we just want to, can we just praise God right now for that? Can we just give God a hand for those things? And that God sees our burdens. Like, he sees your burdens, and he wants to set you free from those burdens. And the blood of Jesus is enough to break those burdens. The blood of Jesus is real. It's real in your life. And so, yeah, we just want to receive those gifts from God today. And, yeah, that's it.
Just make this a private moment, so if you could just close your eyes, just so that people can privately respond to God right now. I especially want to pray over you if there's struggle in finances right now, and we just talked about breaking the chains of poverty and there's provisions. Our God is Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who provides. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Just keep this a private moment for people. If you're struggling in finances or doubting God in this, or there's some struggle that's there, if you could put your hand all the way up and then down, I want to pray for you this morning. In Jesus' name, break off the poverty mentality in the name of Jesus Christ. By the power of the blood of Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, we worship you. We lift up your name. We praise you. You are the God who provides abundantly, that we would have all that we need. that we would abound in every good work. That's the truth of the word of God. And we proclaim that over our lives, over our brothers and sisters who raised their hands this morning. As much as you call us to be the real deal, Jesus, you are the real deal. You are the ultimate real deal. And we just proclaim who you are and what your word says. Jehovah Jireh, do what only you can do. In the name of Jesus. Some of these other things in terms of gifts, in terms of God's gifts, and the chains that he wants to break off, some of that applies to you guys this morning. I would encourage you to come forward and receive prayer, because I feel like there's an open window of heaven for us, and God's here. And he's saying, before I'm going to start, I'm not a God that's just trying to squeeze people for their amounts. I'm the greatest giver of all. I want to give good gifts to my kids. And so as we begin to worship, as we begin to close out our time, if some of those words apply to you, I would encourage you to come forward and receive prayer and receive the gift that God has for you today. So Father, we just come before you and we worship you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Bring the deposit of your good gifts. Father, you are the good, good Father. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.